Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by Caitlin Douglas and Alex Hovey of Hot Kitchen Collective.
How are you all doing today?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing great.
Daniel coming in hot with that record button.
I always do. Well, we were just, so today, for those listening back to back, we just recorded an episode with Felix and Maureen was just saying that like, gotta have a countdown or something. And I like living the no countdown life. I don't know why. It's probably not, I don't know, I just feel like if I were going on a podcast, or like if I even, I feel like I would get nervous as the person that's done over 200 episodes of a podcast if I counted down 3, 2, 1. I just feel like it's like, you know, that thing where I've never done this, but like when you're on what's it called when you're on the airplane?
And skydive.
That's the one. Yeah, thank you. And they're like, oh, we're just going to push you off. Or yeah. Whatever, and that's like better. Mm-hmm. It feels like.
Or like waxing, you pull on two, right? Or something. Right. Like, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a hot
start. You went skydiving?
Start. No, I liked the jumping into the podcast. Oh, okay. The hot it was, start. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
for those
good.
Worried, Moody is in lap.
Moody's in my lap.
Yeah.
Do you hear that delay? I'm going to stop one sec. Okay, cool. We're back. Sorry about that. I am so glad to have you on the podcast. Also, you, Alex, but Caitlin, it's so funny. We were talking about this before we started recording. We've known each other for a decade.
10 years.
We haven't seen each other in a decade, but it's one of those things like where we went to high school together.
We did.
At University High School in Orlando, Florida.
Go Cougars.
Something like, yes, yes.
Go
there
Cougars.
Were like 1,000 people in each graduating class, I think.
A lot, yeah.
That
it
is
was wild.
Huge.
It was a huge school. I'm trying to think of like how else to set the scene of what it was like going to school in Orlando, Florida. It was hot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason why I especially want to bring this up, which is I think really cool, is you've now have this collective in Chicago that's also made up of so many Floridians.
Yes.
So I think this whole like Florida Chicago thing is really interesting.
It's strong.
Because it's like such a spectrum thing, you know, like where you know, it's January right now, so we're like getting Chicago's worst. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I know for me, were you both born in Florida?
I was not. Like, I grew up all up and down the East Coast, so most of my childhood was actually in Vermont, so I'm, like, prepared for the cold. Mm-hmm. So I remember moving to Florida, like, in high school, and it was, like, culture shock. Like, I did not know that cheerleaders existed, like, or that they were...
Oh, wow.
That they did, like, the cheerleader things, like, wear their uniforms to school, or, like... It was like walking into an episode of the OC, like, first day of high school in Florida.
Where in Florida are you... did you go to high school?
Sarasota County has the highest teen drug abuse rate in the... in the state of Florida.
Wow.
So,
I'm sure
wild.
Orlando has a great stat like that. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the thing for me is I had a similar thing where I was born in New York and then lived there till I was 9 and then moved to Florida. And my parents were like, this is amazing. We just want to burn and be hot all the time. But then, like, I lived there for 10 years.
Well, and why did they move to Orlando?
They specifically wanted to be nearer to Disney.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then
that's the place.
That's the place to do it.
Why not?
Well,
I'm born and raised Orlando, so it's all I ever knew.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so what drew you to Chicago?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like half the thing where you're graduating from an art degree and you have to choose a city that, like, maybe it's a myth. And then, I mean, honestly, it was like to follow these people that I met in college and, like, continue to make this work that we're doing. And it's like, whoa, Alex is going to Chicago. All these other fun people are going to Chicago. Let's do it.
Yeah, because I went to undergrad at UCF, and so I know a ton about FSU conceptually, artistically, because there's so much happening there with the theater and kind of arts department. So that's were you all of Hot Kitchen met in FSU at FSU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we all met in college. We were all like different years, but it was cool. Kind of like that it is sort of like we all slowly came up here because it was like, mm-hmm. oh, we can keep doing this weird thing in Chicago now that we do in college.
Seems like a friendly place where right. yeah. this sort of thing could be accepted.
So was it founded in Florida or founded in Chicago?
Founded in Chicago. Chicago,
yeah.
Cool. Kind of like slowly, like a snowball sort of thing. Like we came up here and like just started making the same sort mm-hmm. of work that we were making before. And we kind of were like hesitant, like, well, I guess we should give it a name that feels kind of weird, but let's do yeah. that. And then...
Because sometimes like we've made shows in like a lot of duos or like, you know, all eight of us or like eight of us plus like six other people or whatever. So it was just kind of like, we should just give us all a name that like we can use to like, I don't know, share and people will not be like, oh, that weird thing like that. There's a name now.
Well, and what kind of work were you doing in college?
Still a lot of devised work and like performance art stuff, making shows. Our program had like a really like strong like experimental focus other than like the BFA acting programs and like the traditional like theater school programs of like six musicals or whatever, you know. But on the side there was a lot of like strong like support for students to make their own work, so it was just
that's unusual.
Yeah, I think we had like a couple professors that were really like adamant about getting us mm-hmm. all to make our own work.
Well, FSU has so like I went to school, obviously a lot of people know this, for on that listen I mean that for opera at UCF, and so the FSU has like a standing as the arts school that is a state school in Florida.
Is that where Lily goes?
Yes. Yeah, like they have a strong arts.
They're hosting a very
program.
Controversial masterclass today.
Mm-hmm. Oh really?
Yes. This
like Islamophobic, sexist,
straight up
douchebag.
Horrible, like renowned among the U.S. opera community as a total dirtbag. FSU invited him to do a masterclass today, and a bunch of students are boycotting it.
Oh, and like in the opera, mm-hmm. yeah, school.
Yeah,
it's a whole thing.
I mean. I'm not shocked, right? Like, state school in Florida, right. like, mm-hmm. they all have their issues, yeah. and...
But it is fortunate that there was, like, a space was made for that kind of work, because, like, devised is still relatively new, right, conceptually?
Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of, like, theater history, for right. sure, yeah. But I guess I don't even know, really, like, the history, but I would guess, like, the 90s is when it got, like, popular, or became, like, a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mostly...
I made that up.
I mean, the concept of, like, devising is, like, you know, creating something, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, giving it the name devised maybe is something new, but I mean, it's really just like people coming together and like creating a show, and mm-hmm. it's written down. So, I mean, we have a script, so I think it's like as old as probably yeah. theater is, but maybe like the concept of making devised work is maybe becoming more of a popular thing mm-hmm. lately.
It's certainly popular in Chicago. There's all sorts of yeah. all sorts of folks doing it. Pop Magic does it all the time.
Oh yeah.
Nothing Without a Company does it all the time. Like it's definitely it's having a moment in Chicago.
Well, so for you all, why like what about the devised structure really speaks to you and like that process?
Well, for me, I feel like it's like you know, it's something coming from me and our work as like Hot Kitchen. I think the thing that like binds all of our work together, no matter who's making what, is that we always perform like as ourselves and never as like characters or anything like mm-hmm. that. So that's what's refreshing is that, you know, it's when I'm on stage, it like is something that I created and it came from me and I am still being me. And that's what's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like audiences react to that so much more like I don't know organically or like they don't have to like go through this step of like putting it through like a filter to like think about it. It's just like, oh, Alex is up there doing a dance and I'm smiling. I don't know why, but I dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just this is I think going to be a thing that we're going to end up talking about a lot is this idea of like relatability. We were talking about it specifically with our friend Felix about satire, where you, it's a thing of sometimes when like very people that, that are like satire people will write something and it's like, oh, this is a joke that no one will get. And it's the funniest joke because no one will get it. And it's like, is it funny though? Like,
sure, yeah.
Like, is it, if it's not relatable, like, is it funny? And I, that's the thing that I'm finding more and more people are really getting drawn to is finding things that are universally appealing.
Totally. 'Cause
it doesn't, that doesn't mean that it's not good art, you know, like that, or, you know, whatever that means. Like, but I think about that a lot.
Not even necessarily universally appealing, but something that has multiple access points, you know, something mm-hmm. that doesn't mm-hmm. require a master's in art history to dissect. It's just right. like something that you don't have to think to death about in order to fully grasp.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let's talk about specifically the upcoming show, because we would be remiss if we did not. So it is called
Big Science.
Yes. Thank you.
Big Science.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about it conceptually?
So, I mean, it's a piece that we decided as a collective to start working on, going into it with like out any idea of what it might become. And so we landed on science. It's about science. It's about space. It's about us and our thoughts on science. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's about like us navigating this thing that we don't know a lot about and trying to find maybe meaning in that. That's the pitch, I guess.
No, I think it's super interesting. Like, I feel like any time that I've seen, sorry, Moody just jumped up on
another thing. She hates science.
She's science. Like, science, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, I remember recently I had the chance to go to a bunch of stuff at the Goodman for their, what was that thing called? It was like some kind of workshop series thing.
There's your name tag right behind you.
Oh.
Criticism in a Changing America. But that wasn't the thing I'm specifically thinking about.
Oh, it was the new play festival?
It was some... Anyway.
Oh, they do that annually, right? Yes. I don't know what the actual name is.
And it was really fascinating because one of them was specifically about climate change.
Hmm.
And so it's an interesting thing when exactly what you're talking about, it's kind of an uncharted territory, like making art about... That's like specifically about science that is also like... For lack of a better way to put it, like entertaining, like that,
yeah,
trying to figure that out. Like, it's very, like, Bill Nye would be really proud, I think, of that kind of thing.
Totally.
But it's definitely it's fascinating, and it's becoming more and more important. Like, as you know, everything is crumbling to bits. But like my real curiosity for y'all is like what has kind of been like, through the process, getting to opening and things like that, what have kind of been the like the guidelines and kind of like the North Star of what it is that you're trying to accomplish with storytelling through science?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I think if you come to the show, you'll realize pretty fast that maybe we don't know too much about the things we're talking about. And that's, you know, part of it. It's really just like an hour maybe of just us existing and us maybe.
The show is definitely less about science and more about us through the lens of science. And I think like our rehearsal process, right, is sort of like once we landed on like, oh, let's like think about science, let's think about space. It sort of becomes like the way that like we try to explain it is sort of like if you were to like shoot a bow, an arrow, like at a target, right? No matter where you hit the, like, you could hit the bullseye, you could hit like one of the outer rings, you could like throw the bow behind you, but because you were shooting at the target, the bow, wherever it lands, is still in relation to that no matter what, right? So in the show, it's like we do a lot of things, but they're all somehow related to science because they exist in this little 80-minute thing that we've thrown together for you.
They were created from the idea.
I like the I like how that relates to the title, because you hear, you know, I always like when you're talking about something that you don't fully understand, where you're like, oh, I don't even know why this keeps coming to my head, but like, oh, well, if Big Potato Chip finds out that we're that we're, you know, making our own potato chips, you know, whatever. So like the idea of like big science as just like this big unattainable thing that you don't fully understand.
Yeah.
Is cool. And like tongue in cheek.
Oh, that's us. We're tongue in cheek. Yeah. All the way.
Our stuff definitely relies on like being stupid. Yeah. And
that's like our number one goal, is to be very stupid.
Yeah. And like the big thing about our, like all of our work, is that none of it is ever like following a narrative, really, or trying to tell like a story in a traditional way, which I think lets people kind of, it's always interesting to like talk about it as a cast, or like talk to people who come and see our stuff, because everyone's like, oh, like I saw this very clear like story, or like, oh, I have this very clear through line for myself of like the world that I think I'm navigating through as I perform it. But it's always different, and that's what's nice, because our stuff is really like image based, and I think we draw on performance art in that way, where people can kind of come and look at it and not really understand fully, but like our minds are like trained to like throw a narrative onto something, so people always come away with something.
So is this like, is it drawing from like the Dadaist surrealist realm, in that like there's not really a you know, a through line, there's not really a set structure, it's just kind of like variations on the theme of science? Or is it I'm always hesitant to be like, is this surrealist? Because like, because it's like,
I feel like as soon as you say that, it's like,
no, exactly. Yeah, but right. Like I'm just in terms of just, I don't know, I've always find it really interesting when people are like, yeah, no, there's not a story, it's just kind of like impressions. And so like I'm wondering, like, you know, throwing the term surrealism out there, like how does that relate to what you're trying to do? Is it similar or
off base entirely,
or am I completely just fucking wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I think no, I mean, it's similar. I think it's not I don't even know is the thing. Yeah. You know, so there's definitely, like, we definitely draw from elements of, like, Dadaism, surrealism, absurdism, you know? But, yeah.
I would love to be called surrealist.
Yeah, it sounds...
I'll say yes. But, I mean, we, you know, we studied all that.
Yeah.
So it's in our brains. And
I don't think we go into it being like, we're going to make a surrealist piece, right?
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people kind of fuck up surrealism, where they're like, we're going to be surrealist.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, other than coming from it from like an anti-establishment kind of like subversive space, where like I think that people will kind of like land in surrealism, but like I feel like if you set out with like, today we shall be surrealist, it's like, yeah. No, you're not.
And yeah. To that point, as a journalist, I always, this is a fun like space to be in to me, because I love that degree of art. My favorite kind of art in the world is when you take very trained people and have them do normal stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so fun. And so then I just want to talk about it. But then as soon as you try to talk about it, it like ruins it. Because it's like, as soon as you try to analyze it too much, maybe it doesn't. I don't mean to say that no matter what talking about it does or ruin it or not. But, you know, let's go here. I want to kind of touch more on how the rehearsal process has been going and how it works for your outfit. Do you find yourselves analyzing or doing more?
Doing more for sure.
Yeah.
The analyzing, I think, happens, but what happens is like, we'll do a thing, right? And what we try to do a lot of the time is like, something will happen, right? And it becomes like almost too meaningful. Like there's too much meaning in the thing that's happening. And then we look at that, and then that's when we analyze and strip that all away, because it's like, oh, like there can't be like two pairs of a boy and a girl, a boy and a girl, and a boy and a girl, right? That's just like weird. So like,
and the audience's brain jumps,
right? And yeah, that means too much. So like, let's mess this image up, because like we've gotta figure this out in some way.
And that's when you stumble upon a different image that maybe we stick with.
Yeah. So that's like a very basic example of like what could happen. But yeah.
In our rehearsal process, I mean, for this show, we started it like a while ago. Yeah. And we've kind of been doing like meeting once or twice a week for a while. And we have two directors who kind of tag team that role, and they're brilliant. And they will either, you know, give us homework to bring in proposals of weird little nuggets of like different, movement things, or like our own writing. Mm-hmm. And in the rehearsal space, we'll like put that on its feet, and they'll mess with it, and they'll like add things to it. And it just kind of grows from there.
Totally. They're the two of them, Audrey Polinsky and Gianna Estes. They like their job is less director and more like editor. So they take all the things that we're making and like shape it in some way. And it, like, we all are really trusting on them for them to tell us like, oh, that doesn't work when you do this, or right, that doesn't work when you do this. Like, you hop in there and dance behind her while she's doing this.
Mm-hmm. Alex, you get in there and take your shirt off.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff is very important. Yeah.
So that's a lot of what happens.
Cool. So the other thing that I think is really interesting about this conversation is one of the things we think about a lot is what it means to be making art now.
Yeah.
And I think that this conversation is particularly interesting to that because, well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things I could say. The one thing I will just kind of lead with is that I think that there's a giant pull towards absurdism right now. Like, you see it in memes. I don't know if you're if you are a purveyor of memes, but like, it just seems that we are more than ever willing to jump into whatever space that is not, like, you know, one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about it was the idea of pushing away from meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for some reason, this may be just like a tangent that isn't a parallel, but it feels like it might be a parallel. One of the things that I think about that I've seen a lot of in the last couple, like year or two, is anytime that an outfit wants to verbalize that they want to prioritize other perspectives, it's, I've found that like the conversation of like, oh, well, how do you say like women or femmes or like LGBTQ, like how do you encompass everyone at once? And it, the thing that has become the most obvious to me hearing from people from that, from those perspectives is just saying non-men, just saying like not the norm, like not being like you have to box it, but just being like, it's just not this, and it can be anything else but that. Like, it's just like the priority is specifically not what the norm has been. And I think that that is very fascinating. And I think from that, there's just that it's kind of, and I mean, I do not think in any way like that this is the first time that art has done this, where it's pushed and been like, we're going to do the absurd. We're going to do this. Like, obviously, like Dadaism is what, like a century old or something.
Dadaism. Yeah. It came, Dadaism and Surrealism were results. It was like the first kind of like splintering of artistic progression after World War One, because there was neoclassicism where people suffering from the trauma of World War One attempted to go back to form and structure as kind of a coping mechanism. And then there was the other camp that was like, fuck it, the world doesn't exist anymore. There's mustard gas now. Nothing makes sense. Surrealism. And so I think like, yeah, so from great trauma and the rise of technology, the first kind of like instance of technology really having the edge against human life, that was where people were like, things don't make sense anymore.
Yeah, well said. Also, I am so sorry that we've now like completely not asked the question. Because, well, the question that I was originally getting to is what does it mean to be making the kind of art you're making now in this moment for you? Is that something that you think about or address, or is it meant to not be that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, of course, anything you do nowadays is... political. Yeah, we were talking about this last night because, FYI, I'm training to be on the $100,000 pyramid. But that is besides the point. This is my coach.
Wait, what is that?
The game show, the $100,000 pyramid. Cool. Where you? Yeah, I'm on round three with my trying out. So we'll see what happens. But
wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we were coaching real hard last night.
Yeah. So it's like word association, and this came up because like anything you say that could even like remotely be related to like politics, like that's immediately where your mind goes. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, anything you do is that. And I mean, for me personally, like the hour that I get to come to rehearsal and like just be with my friends just like friends and be stupid and like be emotional and like just make things with each other. Like that's just like kind of an oasis in a way. And of course the things we make is happening now. We made it now.
We made it in this world.
It's still being made. So like it is all influenced by that. I mean, there's lots of science facts in it.
Yeah.
And not facts. But I mean, just like it's just nine people doing something, and that in itself is like kind of a stand because we're like just being happy.
Totally. And I think, you know, part of like with this show in particular, we like invited people to make it with us that because we valued their perspectives and we wanted like different brains in the room that were there to like contribute, even though like it's not like, oh, we want to hear your personal life story. We don't really make work like that from all of us, but it's just like having those people is really important for us to just have in making the work, and that really keeps it fresh and exciting and I don't know, different and weird.
Is this the first time that you've invited people outside of the collective to perform?
No. I guess our last show, which was called Teen Heat, that we did last December, had some of the same people actually. Mm-hmm. I think
most, if not all, of our stuff has lots of collaborators, because that's the
was that
the
just
only
like
way to
a
do
really
it.
Standard teen rom-com.
It was, yes. Actually like bringing back Florida. Like it was,
yeah.
About,
oh, yeah, it was all
Florida,
about Florida.
Because, cool. You know, we invited people. The people that we were invited to be in it were either from Florida or like California. So like sunny places with oranges and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Uh-huh. Well. Yeah. I mean, sorry. I so rarely get the opportunity to just talk about Florida conceptually.
It's a wild place. I love it.
I mean, I've been gone. How long have you? Because you were saying 3 years, Caitlin, that you've been in Chicago. How long have you been out of Florida?
Yeah, 3 years, just over.
I've been out of it for 5 years, and it's like such a, like it's at this point. I think after the first couple of years, it's really weird. Have you been back much since?
I haven't been back to my, like, where I went to high school since I went to college, because my parents moved to Jacksonville, which is a wildly different type of Florida.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's something that people don't really know about Florida, is that it's 7 hours long.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, 7 hours long. And the whole northern part is completely different from anything else.
I have no Florida frame of reference.
I think the reason I went to
Disney World when I was 8, and that's literally the only time I've ever been to Florida.
Well, I think the reason why it's so wild is because everyone who lives there is from somewhere else, besides like maybe people our age, right? But like their parents weren't born, like everyone came from a different part of America, mm-hmm. to retire or like raise their children or for some reason. So it's like this weird melting pot of all of America coexisting very close together. It's just, and in the heat, in, mm-hmm. like what, it's just hot all the time. People go crazy.
And then like hurricane season.
Yeah.
That for me is the most there is no anarchy like the 3 days that a hurricane is
so
happening.
Fun.
I remember, and I feel like there's always times where I want to tell stories about, like, did you ever do, like, because we would do dumb shit when I was, like, 14 and, like, throw frisbees and go kite flying and stuff. Like, because it just was like, I want to just see what happens, you know? Like, you knew it was really dumb, but it was like, that's the whole Florida mentality. Yeah. It's just like, let's see, let's just do the thing and see
Hurricanes
what happens.
Are, like, have that magic. Like, the air feels just, like, different. And, like, the colors outside are different. And everyone's just, like, kind of freaked out, but kind of excited. And it's just like, anything could happen.
And it's different from, because I think the closest thing that you could think of in the Midwest would be like a snow day.
Yeah.
But it's still really different because
tornadoes are also pretty ubiquitous.
Sure.
Like, we had, like, I can look out, you know, growing up in Wisconsin, I can look out the window and be like, oh, there's a tornado somewhere nearby.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
just because the sky turns yellow and it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is like tornado weather.
Or just like per capita swimming pools. Like, so many.
I know.
Like, stupid amounts of swim. I mean, it was fun.
For
but
granted,
like,
now. I, like, try to find a swimming pool. I love going back to Florida. I go back a lot. I was there for Christmas, and then we went to, like, the beach for New Year's, me and my boyfriend. It was just, like, we just lived it up and, like, rollerbladed and ate fish and just, like, laid outside. I was like, wow, this, I get it now.
Yeah. It's a dream land.
It's just hot all the time. It's great.
So, you said something about Florida that made me think of your show, where it was, of course, it's, like, gone out of my head now, but something along the lines of, like, you know, people just do things just to try it, and, like, who cares? Like, what role did Florida play in your approach to art making?
Well, I think, especially, that, like, is a good point, because with this show, like, what this show is really is, like, a lot of attempts at, like, trying to figure out science, right? And so I think a good way to explain the show is sort of, like, nine of us attempting to, like, just throw something out there and see if it lands, and is that science or is it not? And we keep doing that a lot throughout the show, and so that I think is, like, really if the show has a structure, it's that.
Cool.
I again, this is such a random tangent, but the thing that made me think of was, like, did you ever go and watch the space rockets?
Oh yeah, rockets.
I lived on the wrong coast.
Oh yeah. But it's an interesting thing, because it's that thing where it's like, yeah, go rock, go space.
Yeah.
But, like, no one fucking knows. Like, people go there and get drunk and, like, watch the rockets fly off. And it's like, there's nothing more like that. That is such a unique headspace.
Oh, totally.
Like, and it's, yeah, I don't entirely have a question.
Well,
but I do think, sorry, go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
I do think it's fascinating, the idea of going from Florida to Chicago and then making art. One of the questions that we ask a lot on the show is, what does it mean to be making art in Chicago? But it's not often that we have a, like, dedicated group of people that, because, you know, that can mean a lot of things to different people. Like, a lot of people are transplants in Chicago, a lot of people are from here, like, perspectives, like, what it means to labor in Chicago, all these things. But rarely do we have a situation where you have a group of people that were from one place, and then moves to another place and have that kind of same shared experience.
So I guess I want to pose your question to all three of you, where what does it mean to be a person making art in Chicago who specifically from Florida went, Chicago's the place for me? Like, what about your experience in Florida made Chicago the place for you that made making art seem possible?
I mean, for me, it's really, again, the people that I'm making it with, because most of them are from Florida, I mean, for one. And, I mean, we've known each other since then, and now we're making things together. So we already have that, like, familiarity with each other and, like, friendship, and, like, we know how we all work. So, like, literally that has been transplanted here.
Yeah.
So it, like, brings this little certain
Yeah, I think about this a lot, though. But, like, I think Chicago has, like, a lot of similarities to Florida in this weird way. And maybe, like, so Sarasota, right, county specifically, like, I-75 runs through that, like, part of that, which comes, like, all the way up to, like, Michigan. And so has, like, all of, like, that county is all, like, Michigan people, like, have transplanted, or, like, Midwestern people have transplanted there. But I don't know. Chicago, to me, feels like a city that is also, like, this weird melting pot of different Midwestern places, I guess, and has this, like, casualness to it that Florida also has compared to other cities, which I find nice, and it's, like, relaxing at times, but also can feel crazy, and I don't know. It's, I think I, for some reason, Chicago did feel right to me after Florida, and I think it's because they're oddly similar.
Yeah, and they're, like, the people who are making art here, like us, they're, like, open to this kind of thing, and they're, like, into it, and there's so many cool, like, groups, like, making this type of stuff, so it kind of feels like, oh, this is, like,
This stuff definitely felt really possible in Chicago. Yeah. Like, a lot of the stuff when we first moved here, it was just like, oh, let's rent that clothing store and just, like, throw up a show in it. And it was like, wait, that's it. That was so easy. Like, who knew that it was just that easy?
That's a very Florida thing.
Yeah.
not to cut you off.
No.
Like, the thing that I
get closer to the mic.
That I know about, that I was thinking about this question, is that, like, Florida specifically has, we talk about this a lot with Chicago, that because it's, like, self-imposed second to New York and LA, it has a unique thing where it's pitted against that of this idea of, like, what art making means to be in a city. But it is still very much a city. And so there's a lot of that piece to it. So I know for me, coming from Florida, the fact that it was a city in which art was being made, like, all the time was very appealing. But the thing that is uniquely Florida that is also very much in Chicago is you could pretty much do whatever you wanted in Florida and no one would really care. Like, it's like you if you wanted to, like, rent a hotel on the beach for a week with your friends and just trash it, that was part of the culture. Like, it's stuff like that. Like, you want to shoot off fireworks, like, at any time, fuck it, go for it. Like, it's a very, that energy is very Florida. But the, and you know, if there are other people that have lived in Florida that, like, are like, oh, no, we care at all. Like, of course, I'm not saying that, like, there's no rules. Like, it's not, like, completely, lawless, like, lawless land at all.
Wild West,
But it's interesting because you can make anything you want, and you can do anything you want there, but it won't, like, have the same ability to find traction into, and I don't know, maybe this is unfair, so if I'm going to say this and see what you all think, but the idea that, like, what I remember about living in Florida is that, like, I could do whatever I wanted. Like, if, like, I, like, it wasn't easy, but it was doable to, like, perform with local companies there, and, like, to audition for stuff there, and to do stuff there, and to make stuff. But to then kind of, like, pivot it into a career just didn't feel like there was upward momentum, like, or upward mobility, rather. Whereas in Chicago, like, it feels like you can make anything here, and it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination to then have that thing become a thing that is whatever your version of successful is. But it is that mindset is, I think, more true in Chicago than it is in Florida. That you can put in 3 or 4 years of work on a thing and then see that thing become, like, and there, of course, there are people that are doing a thing individually, or they've made a thing and it then becomes, like, their livelihood. It becomes successful to them, whatever that means. But it's there are just too many people doing whatever they want in Florida, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, here, it definitely feels like you, when you're working on something, you're working towards something. In Florida, it's, I think that's part of it, just being hot and like the beach, right? Is that everything's just like kind of chill.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I'm going to pivot back to the show. How has your relationship with the concept of science changed through this process?
I think I know less about science than when we started.
Probably less.
But it, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, on like a day-to-day level, I've definitely been more aware of like new headlines, like trying to find stuff for the show, like very personally, like,
yeah,
oh, I'm like looking up more things that I could potentially like use. On a deep level, I guess maybe that I will never be a scientist,
right? Sure, like now. That's what I think, that's what's become clear, is that like, oh, maybe I had it's too late.
We could have been scientists and we made terrible choices.
Now
in
we're
life.
Just stuck pretending.
Yeah, pretending for the rest of our life.
Yeah, I just, because science is, and please tell me if I'm wrong, science is kind of the opposite of what y'all are doing, where it's
absolutely, yeah.
Where it's very much, you know, science is very much about, like, doing a thing, charting the, although, now that I'm saying this, doing a thing, charting the results, and then trying something else.
Totally, yeah.
But then that's also what you're doing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so
there's just no, science has this really amazing thing where it, like, can quantify things and, like, actually tell you if something's working, whereas, like, this is just, like, I felt like that worked, and who
Maybe
knows what that
would... people will laugh at that.
Yeah, like, I think, yeah.
Like, I don't think that there's any room for, like, the ephemeral in science. Oh,
totally, yeah. Science is like hard truth, and this is
there is
like,
some magic in science.
There is magic in science, absolutely. And yeah, that's where I think, you know, there's
that
this
was
magic
one of our starting points
theater.
For the show.
Right.
Finding the magic.
I think that it did start with magic, yeah. Right? Like the original title might have been "We
wizards.
Are Wizards."
Yeah,
yeah.
And we were all going to be wizards and have long beards and cloaks.
Yeah,
with secrets hidden under our cloaks. But then it changed.
Now we're astronauts.
Yeah, now we're astronauts.
Are you dressed as astronauts?
Yes.
There are space helmets. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
and jumpsuits.
Good.
Yeah.
So you said that there are 9 people. Oh my gosh. So how did you? So and you're performing it at Steppenwolf.
Yes.
How did you make that connection?
One of the producers they have this lookout series, which is like their where they invite people from the Chicago community from elsewhere to come. It's like in their cabaret space.
It's a really cool thing. It's like, I think they say, like, emerging and, like, legends. So, like, Cheetah Rivera was there and, like, Lucky Plush and, like, Sand Improv. And, like, they're really, like, trying to find, like, every cool
corner,
like, different types of art and, like, put it up there.
Yeah, so Patrick, one of their producers, had seen our previous show or a couple of our previous shows and asked us if we would just be interested in putting something in their space, and we were like, yeah, absolutely, that sounds amazing, because it's a real theater with like lights and sound equipment and not
a
dressing room and not a basement or
we feel much more comfortable in giant weird warehouse spaces that we can completely like transform.
Yeah,
but
which I think, like, back to what you were saying earlier about, like, you know, why we're doing it, it's like really like part of like us taking over spaces and like transforming them and like performing the shows is like really like to create like this oasis for ourselves, but also to create like this oasis for like the audience and to just like the whole point of theater is that it's a bunch of people in a room sharing the same space for the certain amount of time. And like that, I think, is like what drives all of our work, is like, how do we make an event out of this thing that we're doing?
Yeah. I think that a lot. I think about escapism a lot, like that conceptually, because I think that it's one of those things that as soon as you try and hit it too hard on the nose of what it is, it doesn't work.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it's fascinating to that end. We have a few minutes before we have a few minutes left. So I'm just trying to think of,
Where do you see Hot Kitchen Collective in the next 5 years?
Broadway, baby.
Hell yeah.
I was going to say Mars. But
oh, yeah.
I'll take Broadway.
We might get there.
We're going.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. No, really. I think we'll still be here. Yeah. We'll still be doing the thing that we're doing.
Is Chicago the common denominator?
Yeah. I think so. I think we've been talking about like touring, so who knows where these things can go. Because a lot of our shows are like, oh, we did it for 2 weekends and then it disappeared forever into this void of the like 100 people who saw it, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. That's definitely a thing that we're constantly talking about and thinking like what can come next and what will happen.
Yeah. Making stuff. Maybe get a storage space.
Oh yes.
For stools.
Yes.
Ooh. I mean, it'd be great to like get as like a warehouse space that we could like always have.
Right,
and, like,
yeah.
So if anyone knows of one,
yeah, just we could just have a warehouse for like that we could buy for $1,000. We'll take it.
We'll take it off your hands. No, we're definitely like gonna keep making stuff. If we do anything, we make a lot of stuff. So yeah. That's gonna keep rolling.
And probably more videos and film stuff.
Film stuff.
We've been getting into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned like wanting to get a space. How would having a space change what you do? Because right now, do you kind of like hop from whoever will have you to whoever will have you?
Yes and no. It's what's hardest about making theater is that you need a space to just make it right before you can even like perform it. Mm-hmm. So rehearsal space is like the hardest thing because it's just like jumping around from like space to space or like
it's carrying your space helmet all across town.
Yeah.
relatable. So, yeah. Deeply relatable.
If we had a real like dedicated space that
to
was
keep
just
our space
to,
helmets.
Yeah. It would be like, oh, we could just make stuff all the time, but that gets we're all poor.
But it's fun to kind of jump. We are poor. It's fun to jump around too, because like when Alex and Jasmine made their Kim Kardashian show, like that should have been in a clothing store, which it was. And when me and Audrey made our show about a Cheeto I found, that was at I.O. because it was a comedy.
Yeah.
So I mean, and Teen Heat was in a big white room because Florida has
bright
a sunshine.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to like take over spaces, and that's like definitely like half of what we do, like the installation aspect. So to like have our own space to just completely like take over. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want a space too. That'd be sick. I feel like if you just like cornered every maker in Chicago and you're like, quick, what do you want?
A space.
Well,
when Caitlin wins $100,000 on
the pyramid yes.
that's what's
so look nice. Out
I have, that. I have to ask you why are you doing like not I mean other than like what prompted you to want to do that?
I saw that they were looking for people to do it, and I was like, I am pretty good at that sort of like game. And then I did. I sent in a tape with a cardboard pyramid on my head, and it worked. So now I'm on round three, baby. I'm trying to find the like board game to practice, and literally like there's one for $100 on Amazon, like new ones.
Oh, what?
And like they're all so expensive. I don't know what's happening.
Have you checked like eBay?
Yeah. My next thing's on Thursday. I won't come here in time to like practice.
Yeah.
And like with shipping, it'd be like $50. I'm like, it's not worth it. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
To you on.
We'll see.
Winning that hundo.
I was gonna say 100,000 is a really good number, and we actually have a friend. I'm gonna weirdly take this moment to plug our friend because we were in it. Her video for the vitamin water.
Oh yeah.
Our friend McKee Loney made this video for her friend.
Marguerite.
What's the hashtag? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Nope.
Marguerite powers off. Marg powers off.
Oh, I think it is Marg powers off.
And it's just, the concept is that it's you have to submit a video to be like chosen by Vitamin Water to not have a phone for a year.
A smartphone for
a year. Oh, wow.
And if at the end of the year, they like hook you up to a lie detector test, and they're like, and then if you pass that, where they're like, did you use a smartphone at all this year?
Like, oh, sign me up. What? That feels easy.
Yeah. Well, so you can't borrow other people's. Oh. You can't, like, look at other people's screens.
Just move for a year. Yeah. Like, you know.
Where?
Just,
where would you move?
I don't know.
Florida. I know right away, Florida. I find, like, some fucking shitty place on, like, Daytona Beach or, like, yeah. Maybe not Daytona Beach. Maybe, like, I don't know, like Vero.
Yeah.
Like, so, just, like... And then that's
chuck yeah. your phone into the ocean. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool.
Well, the last thing we do with all of our guests is a 1-minute plug for anything they have upcoming. Sometimes it's very obvious, like letting people know where they can find out about your upcoming running shows that are tangentially related to science. Otherwise, we love hearing shout outs to other folks that are doing dope work or any media that you're consuming, self care or otherwise, music, movies, TV shows, things like that.
Yeah, I can. Well, obviously, check out Hot Kitchen Collective at Hot Kitchen Collective on the gram or hotkitchencollective.com. We also have this thing called 13 Love Songs that we do every year, which is like a huge event for us. So look out for that in maybe March. And me personally, I don't know. I'm into the Marie Kondo show right now on Netflix.
My mom is super into that right now.
Tidying up. I have not tidied up at all, but I love thinking about tidying up.
Well, I saw that was the thing, and we watched an episode of it, and whatever episode of it, because like she skips around the numbers.
Yeah.
And she skipped the books one, but because this was like yesterday, right, when we watched it.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, you're gonna tell me to get rid of my books? Like, how dare you? Like, as you can tell by the, like, just it's completely taken over a room. And I feel like this is pared down to like when I was like in graduate school. I just like fucking love having. I think they're like,
you have not gotten rid of any books since grad school. I know that for a fact.
All right, well,
you have more.
If someone calls that woman on me,
because my I'm book collection
no, you're nowhere near like needing Marie Kondo. I think like you just need more boxes, right? That's her thing.
More bookshelf.
But that's it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Come see Big Science, January 17th, February 7th, 8 p.m. Me. I mean, I just watched literally every episode of The Great British Baking Show on Netflix, nice. So that's kind of sad for me because it's my great love. So now I'm just sitting in my
What do you think about the new cast?
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's old Greg.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard about the handshake?
The Hollywood handshake?
The Hollywood handshake drama.
Oh, God, no.
Someone sat through every episode and then tallied up how many times he gave out the Hollywood handshake.
Uh-huh.
And in the first, like, three seasons, never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth, I might be getting the seasons wrong. If there's someone out there that's a better expert than I, right into the show, we'll correct it on something. But anyway, it went like one Hollywood handshake, then the next season one Hollywood handshake, then two, then the next season four,
mm-hmm.
then the next season eight, then the next season it was like they're halfway through and he's done 12.
Sure.
And so it's like the currency of the Hollywood handshake is just plummeting. Like, sure. Stocks not doing well.
Yeah.
And it's there's some, I'm sure it's like BuzzFeed or something article about it, but it's like he's responded, like, he's like, no, look, you don't understand, the bakers are just getting better. And it's like, all right, Hollywood, like, whatever you want to say, like, it's but it's fascinating.
That, yeah, that's fine with me, because whenever he shakes someone's hands, they get so happy.
Yeah.
I get so happy, mm-hmm. for them, and I think he gets happy, so I think it's like a dopamine release. It's probably like a drug, and he's probably super like addicted to shaking hands, and mm-hmm. that's fine.
Like, he goes home and like on the sidewalk he's like, great job.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by all of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we are up to, there are so many ways to do that. The first is to head over to scopymag.com. That's our website. We post all of our podcast episodes and articles there. Otherwise, you can find us on social media. We have a Facebook page called Scoppy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group that we love and adore called Sounding Board, where we talk about local art, local politics, and astrology memes. Otherwise, you can find us on social, on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr under Scoppy Mag, spelled the same way as the website, S-C-A-P-I-M-A-G. And you can find the podcast, the one that you're listening to right now, under Scoppy Radio, on in most podcast places, including Google Play, iTunes Podcasts, and Radio Public.
And I'm here, as always, to talk about the importance of subscribing. If you head to our website, scoppymag.com, and go to our subscribe page, there are a couple ways that you can do that. The first is to sign up for email blasts. This is huge because even though we post across social media platforms, Facebook buries our content. So if you want to see 100% of what we're doing and not just 30% of it, you should sign up for those email blasts. The second thing you can do is become a member. For as little as $5 a month, you can help us keep our lights on and pay our artists. If you're in a position to do so, there are some cool incentives associated with it, so please consider it. Also, if you are a business or an entity or just have something fun to say and want to advertise with us, please feel free to reach out to us at scoppymag@gmail.com. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.